Thursday, Thrivers. We are headed to Texas today. Let's talk about getting your boots muddy with the Vice President of Business Development at Smarty Rodeo. Let's grow. Welcome to the Thriving Equine Professional, the podcast to grow you. Are you wondering how to make connections to build your career in the equine industry? Not sure where to look for the support you'll need to land a dream job? Maybe you're feeling frustrated or stuck where you are. Hey, I'm Jody. I was that girl with no clue how to navigate landing a great career in animal health, but I knew this is where I wanted to be. I look back and cannot believe the roles I've landed and the people I call friends. Inside this podcast, you will meet key connections, build your career confidence, and find the advice you may not know you need. So, if you're ready to grow your career and thrive in a job that you are passionate about, you're in the right place. Get the ponies fed and fill those water buckets. It's time to grow, girl. Welcome back, Thrivers. We are here with an exciting new connection for Jody today. And as I always explain, where do these connections come from? I am working hard to bring you some new stories and new connections that you may not know as well. And knowing me, many of them come from LinkedIn. So I reached out to another stranger on LinkedIn, Amanda. We always say that of all the social media platforms, LinkedIn is the place where it's not super creepy to reach out to a stranger. So thank you, Amanda Schaefer, for actually responding to my message and agreeing to be a guest on the Thriving Equine Professional. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited about this. And I, like I told you, I'm flattered, and I'm always excited to educate and help people understand that it's a journey, not a destination. And one of the things that I've kind of lived by since I've gotten in a leadership role is that you can't get experience unless you seek it. And so, and somebody gives you the opportunity to thrive there. So anyway, I'm looking forward to today. Thank you for having me.
Yes. So let's get our listeners up to speed. You are coming to us from Stephenville, Texas. And it's so funny. I told you I was just recently there for an event, and it was my first visit to Stephenville. So let's tell the listeners how you got to Stephenville, because I don't think you were born there.
No, ma'am. I was born in New Mexico, and Stephenville is known as the cowboy capital of the world. So if you want to be in Western sports or the equine industry, from the Western side of it or the rodeo side of it, you kind of want to be close to Stephenville. It's for me, you know, coming here, it's always, and not being from here, it's always like, oh, Stephenville, Stephenville this, Stephenville that. And you see it when, you know, my background is Western sports. So when I'd watch the NFR, every little name tag under every athlete's name said Stephenville, Texas. So it was a goal, like, yes, I need to get there, and I need to. And now being in a leadership role, it's so content rich. It's so good for our sport to see what's happening, and we kind of hear it, feel it, breathe it first, and then it goes out to the world, so we can kind of predict things and obviously sway opinions sometimes when people are feeling a certain way, because we're so connected to those athletes. But it's been a journey to get here, and I've been here 12 years, and I applied for a job with a small marketing agency here. Writing for our friend Pat Pirelli was the job.
Okay.
So as a copywriter, and the agency did all of that, but they needed someone specific, and they had me come in and interview, and my dynamic was much different, and they knew that I would not thrive there. But when I was in school, they said, apply for it, even if it's not ideal, because it'll get you somewhere. And there's no truer statement. But I came here and I interviewed with the then couple that ran the agency. And they were like, well, you know, thanks for coming. I don't think you're going to fit this, but you would be a great project manager. And so it kind of just started there. That's the basic of the big part of my journey and my career journey. So
Yeah, and that's such great advice. And I don't want to skip over that because you are right. We get so narrow-minded sometimes. And what I will often say is we put these blinders on and let's take the racehorse blinders off and realize that you are only going to land somewhere if you apply to a lot of places. And so I do love that advice that it is, you've got to start somewhere and it might not be the right fit, but it's going to make you better at interviewing. It's going to make your application better. It's going to help you to see your strengths and identify some of our blind spots where we could use some development. So that's fantastic. Now, I think you graduated from West Texas A&M, is that correct?
Yep. And let me be the first to tell you, it wasn't a straight path. And I always joke because people joke about, well, I'm on the 6-year plan. And I was like, no, I was literally on the 10-year plan. I was 10 years from the day I graduated high school to the 10 years when I graduated college. But I went there, and as a rodeo athlete, as somebody that wanted to use my eligibility, somebody that liked working better than I liked class, and knowing that the money funded my rodeo habit. I just took the long way around, and then I got to school, and I encourage people to go and experience school because it will put you in situations that you really have to figure your way out of and into. So I went to school. I had some opportunity, and I got to go live on the Four Sixes Ranch for a little while at Dixon Creek, and that wasn't exactly what I wanted. I did some embryo transfers and kind of like would get fairly distracted fairly easy. Well, that's when you know you're really not that passionate about what you're doing. So I got to dabble in a little bit of that. And luckily my parents were super forgiving and super, they always said like, oh my gosh, like you are on this ride that we, and it was probably out of their comfort zone too, because I'm like, oh, over here and squirrel over here. But I had to go do all that for myself to get where I wanted to be. And so I did go to New Mexico State first, or Missouri Valley, actually, because it was so far from home. And I got a full ride rodeo scholarship. And that was really cool. I had never had biscuits and gravy. I had never seen combines. I had never seen round bales. All of this stuff to this New Mexico chili-eating desert rat was so cool. I got home. I got a little homesick, and obviously my dad was the first one to say, okay, come home. Doors are wide open, but you got to find the next thing. So I went to New Mexico State right after that, and I rodeoed there for a couple of years, used up my eligibility, and then I kind of went and dabbled. I didn't graduate. I was actually academically excused, if you will. That's at the time it was embarrassing, but now I look back as a blessing. Because I was so distracted by life, and I'm more of a street smarts girl and not so much a book smart. So I wanted to see and do. And then I ended up, my sister was going to West Texas A&M, and she's 5 years younger than me. And she was like, they have this great equine program. You should come. And I went and spent a week with her, and her husband. And at the time, she was pregnant with my nephew. So I was like excited about all this. And it ended up where I got to move to Canyon, and I enrolled back in school, and I had some great mentors there. And so I did a, and they were willing to stop and listen to me and be like, okay, it's time to gather up your squirrels. You've had long enough, and which direction do you want to go? So they had us do like job shadow days. And one of my ones was at AQHA. And so I went to the AQHA, and their marketing and media department blew my mind. And I was like, I had no idea that ads actually came from a designer and commercials came from film. And, it just kind of, you're so naive to that stuff because you take it for granted when you see it on TV or when you see a billboard. Or, we didn't have social media when I graduated. So, you flipped through magazines and, TV commercials, big billboards, a lot of guerrilla marketing. So I saw all of that, and I didn't even go to the membership department. I didn't go anywhere. I just sat with them for the whole day, and I was so intrigued. And lo and behold, my light bulb went off, and I graduated on the dean's list from West Texas A&M. Just totally, yeah. Going from academically excused to being on the dean's list when I graduated, it was a total like aha moment. And I think I told you this before. It's just trusting the journey, not really aiming for a destination.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That's just, it's such a cool story. And it really reflects, Amanda, your authenticity, right? We are in this world that wants us to compare ourselves and we have to be like other people and we're supposed to do that. Who says we're supposed to? Who is telling us we're supposed to do this by this age and we have to do this way and we should be married with 2.4 children and all the things. And so you found an experience that allowed you to be authentically you, and it lit a fire in you, is always what I will say. Students, you find that fire. Go find your fire. Your fire is not mine. It is no one else's. It is yours. That's amazing.
Yep. And don't be afraid to push the limits and get out of your comfort zone. The biggest thing that I had on my side was ambition. I know I didn't want to live with my mom and dad till I was 40. I knew I wanted to pay my own bills. I wanted to have my own things. I had a great example in my parents. They worked their tails off to make sure my sister and I had what we wanted when we wanted it, and all of those things. But they were also very good about telling us that it doesn't come easy. It doesn't come out of nowhere. Like, they've had to put in some work too. So instilling a good work ethic, setting goals for yourself. I've interviewed so many people in my career that, and want positions, but they want a job. They have no goals. Like, they want to show up and have that purpose, but they don't want to build a purpose for themselves. I think that goal setting is so big, and looking at the big picture of what you want for yourself. Like I said, we didn't have social media back then, but when I was getting ready to graduate college, I remember in the little corner of my apartment getting on and Googling on dial-up internet where Fastback Ropes was, where Equibrand was, and sending a hand or a typed up cover letter with my resume that was altered. No matter who saw it, it was altered to that job. It was altered to that company, to that brand. And I put in the time, I put in the efforts. And every Monday, I'd take 10 or 12 envelopes to the post office and just wait for it. Well, I'd hear from some people, thanks for your time. You don't have the experience. And then I'd also not hear from a lot of people. But I will say, when that one person gave me the opportunity, when I got in the industry, people remembered that I had the handwritten notes, that I had the envelopes addressed to the certain people, that I had done my homework. And I think that's part of what helped me become successful and known in the industry.
Without a doubt. And we do, like, I'm not sure, Amanda, if we're not sharing that with our young people, or maybe we're not sharing it early enough. But in our college experiences and with students now, I spend so much time talking about what you and I would consider the basics, right? We can all have academic excellence and whatever clinical skills or specific skills that relate to the industry, but what we're missing is that human connection and the ability to connect with people specifically, intentionally, and purposefully. And I just love that you share that advice, that as you and I are 10, 20 years ahead of many of these students now in our careers, you're exactly right. Here are the things you have to do. Here's what that looks like. And I'm quick to say, you didn't at West Texas A&M, looking at graduation, say, I want to be the vice president of business development at Smarty Rodeo. But here you are as the vice president of business development at Smarty Rodeo. You have repped a number of big brands, PBR, Morse Communications, the American Rodeo. So this journey is a journey, to your point. It is not just that destination. Setting those goals, pivoting along the way. So tell us more about this career journey of yours. I mean, it's really interesting.
Well, and I'll touch on a little bit of what you said too, is because now as a leader, I'm a year into this leadership thing. I the I'll touch on this, but the people that own Smarty Rodeo, they saw it in me. I didn't. I signed up to be their marketing director, and they were like, no, you're really good at taking the reins and getting people where they need to go. So this is totally new to me, but in leading a team, I can tell you that the digital world and the technology now, it almost makes us assume people know too much, and we don't. Like, I tell it when we're marketing, things on social media, or I tell it when we're trying to tell a story a certain way. I'm like, okay, you guys know that we've been discussing this for 2 weeks. You guys know the work that we've put into it. You know our objective. but the rest of the world doesn't. If you're vague, you're going to get half of it out there or a quarter of it out there. So you guys really need to make sure that you're taking everything you know and getting it out. And I think that colleges, parents, the different resources that these kids have almost take it for granted that it's out there and that they're going to go get it. Well, you still have to teach them to go research things. You have to teach them that when they apply for a job, they have to go look at that business's website and get familiar with them and understand what they do, and not just to apply, but how do you see yourself fitting into that job? How do you see yourself fitting into that brand? You can't just willy-nilly it. And that's where I feel like some of these goals and some of these programs that kids, either they're too cool for it or they aren't educated about it enough, they overlook those. And I can go into more about that, because we have youth programs designed basically for those things. Is let's set you up to network. Let's set you up to be resourceful. Let's set you up in these different ways. But anyway, I do think that those are some of the key parts that played into my career. After I graduated West Texas A&M, being originally from New Mexico, my parents had relocated from Central New Mexico to Capitan, New Mexico, which is really close to Ruidoso. And Ruidoso is known for the All-American. We have Ruidoso Downs. And I was fortunate enough to land a position there that was seasonal, obviously, because of the race schedule. But as their marketing manager is what they called it. And in that, there was a bunch of events and a bunch of like just checking off the list, like, okay, are we prepared for this? Are we hospitable? Are we customer friendly? Are we, you know, what do we do in the casino side versus the training side versus the racing side? You know, Tuesday through Wednesday was real quiet. Thursday through Sunday got real loud. So you had to make sure that you balanced everything right. And then, like you said, you had the locals that were casino driven, dining driven, all those things. And then you had those fun people that came on the weekends and they were there for the party, right? So that was a really cool experience. I learned a lot about corporate partnerships. I learned a lot about, you know, different demographics. I learned a lot about event planning, because you know, the casino would have to have different things that drew the customers to the casino. And so I did learn a lot. I learned a lot about racing. I learned a lot about a work culture and work environments, and the positive and the negative of them. Luckily for me, I was young and everybody knew it, but they kind of took me under their wing and, hey, you can't go to the barns after dark. You can't, you know, you can't have friends in the barns after dark. You can't go do this kind of stuff. So I learned a lot, and I was like, well, okay, this is cool, but it's seasonal. What am I going to do next? And that's when I started looking, you know, back then it was kind of, you went through the classified ads, you went through the journal, the AQHA journal used to have job listings, all of these things. And that's when I started applying, and that's when I found the position with Hill Shepherd Marketing Group. They were a small agency. We did Piranha Fly Spray. We did the Pirellis. We did WW Livestock, this cattle equipment. We did some different feed companies for wildlife. We did Road to the Horse. So I got involved in all of those things, and I was a project manager, and it was very small. I think there was five of us that worked there, and they had a mobile home out on their property, and they lived in one house, and then we worked out of the mobile home. But connections were huge, and presenting myself and my drive and my excitement and my enthusiasm to our customer base is how I grew the most there. Asking a ton of questions. People always probably cringe when I walk in the building, because they're like, oh God, here she comes, and she has all the questions, you know. And sometimes you'll learn that you know more than you think you do. And then other times you'll be in total awe, but you never know till you ask, right? So I learned a lot there. I actually was offered a position with Piranha Fly Spray after a site visit. They were like, oh my gosh, would you come work here? And I was like, Houston is not for me. So thank you, but no, thank you. And then some changes happened within the agency, and I had been interviewing with Morris Media, and So they brought me on as their marketing manager, and I did a lot of trade show marketing and event-based stuff for Western Horseman, Quarter Horse News, and Barrel Horse News. And I thrived there because coming from New Mexico, we were old ranching, dynamic background, family. It was very comfortable for me. And then there was the horse side of it where I got to meet and interact with all the clinicians at that point. That was the big thing. And I had a presence with the Pirellis in a small way because I had that. So I was learning that. And then also Clinton had just moved here to Stephenville. So there was that exposure. And another interesting dynamic is my mother-in-law used to be Clinton's CEO. So it was like, and this is all before that, but your network, you never know how small the world is until you get involved in it. But anyway, so I got to do all of that. And then on the quarter horse side, I got to learn, you know, like I mentioned, I went and did some embryo transfers and I got real familiar with the reining industry, the cutting, all of that. Well, then this took me to the other side of it, the performance side and, you know, pushing those stories out and getting those people excited about what we had as a brand. And then the barrel horse news was just, it's just cool in itself. Those horses are so phenomenal. The athletes are in a league of their own, essentially. You know, they're doing big things over there in the barrel racing world that are just isolated, but so cool, right? So that was a really cool learning experience. I worked there for 3 or 4 years. I loved Road to the Horse. I got to do a lot of event production. I got to go ride with the cowboys on the 4/6s. I got, you know, that was super cool for me because then I revisited. Like I worked at Dixon Creek and lived there for a short time, but then I got to go to Guthrie. And kind of just the ties, like again, that small circle. So I did that. And then I got the opportunity. I was kind of outgrowing that. And I'm a very outspoken, very, I want to move people to the next level, whether they want to or not. And I feel like I kind of capped out there. Like everybody was pretty comfortable, and I was still seeking the next best thing. So I started looking, and the PBR had just started hiring market-driven event managers. So they broke up the country into regions and they were hiring managers to market those events in those regions because they were boots on the ground, because they could go meet with the local agencies, they could go do things. And I got Texas. And though it was a large move for me, whoa, what an experience, right? So I went through all of that. I don't want to discredit the PBR and I don't want to discredit anything they gave me, but I was definitely a number there. I wasn't a human, I wasn't a person. But I did the most growing there because they put the most opportunity in front of me. They did, you know, we at that time PBR had just been purchased by Endeavor, which is a huge agency, talent agency. We were in the likes of the UFC, Miss Universe, I think, and then all of the talent that comes with that brand. And if you don't know about them, you should go look them up. But it was so phenomenal. You know, we got to go to New York City and see that. I got to work within the UFC also. So take this rodeo girl and put her in the middle of UFC and talk about explosion of the brain. I was like, what is going on here? But it was so cool. You know, I got to see them build the facility out in Las Vegas and be a part of all of that. And they introduced rodeo into that. And it was just really, really cool, the things that I got to see there. I learned how to buy media. I learned how to, you know, work on ticket sales and what ticket sales were and scaling an arena and price fluctuations and blocking off seats because of obstructive view and blocking off seats for sponsors and, you know, just so many things. And I was there about 3 years also. And I ended up getting married and getting pregnant. And I thought, this is way too much. And again, not being a person, being a number, I felt like I personally needed to step back from that. So in 2018, I did the Iron Cowboy event. And along with that, I had been introduced to the American because they were side by side at that point. But the American was run by Randy Bernard and his group at what was just RFD TV then. And then I was their connection to the PBR. So we worked in market constantly together. And So we put on that event. I think I had the Saturday night event, largest one day PBR event in history. Most ticket sales, most butts in seats. It was standing room only. And I turned in my numbers and I also turned in my resignation. So it was really, really like that aha moment that I knew I was going to get there. I knew I had done something big and I wanted to leave in that moment, just knowing that I still had room to grow.
We really question that oftentimes because it is not normal always to say I am here and it is time to step away. Often we question when we feel that way and we think we shouldn't and we think we should stay.
You have to be, it's so hard because you have to be conscious of your personal life and your professional life. You have to be conscious of, you can't be a victim. You can't have a bad day at work and say, I'm quitting. That's, in my opinion, that's piss poor attitude.
Yes.
You can't have 2 days bad in a row, is the way I look at it. Like the first day, that's fine, learn from it, but you better show up with your boots on the next day. And you can't just think like, this is hard, I'm not gonna do it. This is hard, I'm gonna do it. This is hard, I'm gonna grow from this. I'm gonna move on. And you have to have that mentality in order to be successful. If you just quit when it gets hard, you're never going to get anywhere. It's kind of like not having goals. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't have a goal, what do you shoot for? What do you work?
What are you getting up for every day?
You have to provide your own purpose. You don't have to wait for somebody to provide it for you. So, I've just kind of always lived like that. Like you have, like I'm in charge of this. Nobody else dictates this. I do. But I also know that I have to get my feet wet. I have to get my feet muddy, and I have to walk before I crawl kind of stuff. So if you go into every situation understanding that and not letting your ego or your experience get the best of you, you're gonna get somewhere somehow, I think. But anyway, I was like, I felt good. I was like, okay, I got 2 weeks. I'll recap the event. I'm gonna turn my computer in. I'm gonna be a mom. I'm gonna take a deep breath, whatever. Well, you know, the American was the next day. And you know, Randy Bernard got the memo that I had resigned. So he was like, come sit with me during the American. Okay. Well, I was passionate, I was driven. He presented it well. His team presented it well. They needed me. They knew that I brought something to the table that they were lacking. So I wasn't even, I said, give me 2 weeks and sure, put me on the payroll, right? So I did go through another two Americans, three Americans, I think, and just boosted that. I had a great relationship with AT&T Stadium. I had a great relationship with local media, local news, local public relations agencies. And so I kind of thrived, and there wasn't as much pressure as there was from the PBR side, but there was a different pressure. I had a pressure now for my friends that were competing. I had a pressure now for the people that didn't go to the PBR that needed an experience, you know. So it was cool. And it was a rodeo, and it was a big rodeo, and it is a big rodeo. So I kind of continued that same journey, just different perspectives a little bit. And then I got to the point where I felt like I was on teams way more than I was at the table with my kid. And you never understand this till you have kids, but it goes fast. And my son would be like crawling on my desk at home, and I'd be trying to have a Teams call, and I'd be like, I can't get mad at him for wanting my attention, and I can't get mad at him for needing me to do something, and I'm stuck to this computer. So I had to personally evaluate a few things and decide whether my paycheck was important enough to sacrifice this relationship with my little boy and my husband, or if I could figure out a way to supplement that part of it with less demand, essentially. And I didn't have my son till I was 37. So I had been so career driven and so focused for so long. It took a big leap of faith, essentially, to know that I wasn't in my destination yet. I was still in the journey. So My husband and I have talked about it. We prayed about it. We thought about it. I obviously didn't make any moves until I thought I had my backup plan ready. And I stepped away and I started my own agency because I had such a good relationship with so many of these pro athletes, and sponsorship is such a big thing for them. And coming at it from a vision of you guys have to uphold your side of the contract and they have to hold up theirs, and you're both so busy, who's making sure that's happening before it gets hostile or a not so friendly environment, and relationships start getting wavered because of that stuff. And then also social media started becoming more and more and more of a demand. So I worked with several of our professional athletes here. At one time I had, I think, 14 athletes at the NFR
Wow.
that I worked hand in hand with.
That seems like a lot, Amanda. 14 athletes at an NFR.
And it is like herding cats and chickens. So, and it was a new space for all of us because they were like, okay, well, I can go to Amanda for this. And I'm like, okay, but you guys are still responsible for some of this. So we learned together. I had super graceful, super knowledgeable, super determined athletes, which was cool because I got to pick and choose that, you know. And they got to pick and choose me. It was no hard feelings if they didn't use me and I didn't use them, or you know what I mean? So I worked with them and I helped them with some of them wanted were on the brinks of retirement and wanting to do events. Well, I brought that to the table for them. Some of them just needed social media consistency. Some of them just needed somebody to manage their contracts, make sure they were getting payments, making sure that they were obligated to their checklist too. So I did that, and you know, it overwhelmingly grew really fast, and then I kind of had to start cutting the fat too on that. Well, one of my clients was Charlie Crawford, and he was doing his American Military Celebration. And I think since it's changed to the American Hero Celebration because they were focused first on military and first responders, but it was military, so it kind of created this bubble around their title. And so the first responders didn't get the attention they needed, essentially, or didn't feel invited like the military did. So I think they've since changed that. But we put on his first two events. And Smarty was one of the sponsors. And they were going through some transition that I wasn't even aware of ownership and different things. Well, the new owners were at the event and kind of. And then I had freelanced for Elite Custom Saddles, which is also one of our brands. So the two people that were involved in there in those two brands knew about me, and they introduced me to the owner. And before long, he was calling me like, "Do you need? Can we use you for consulting?" And I'm like, "I don't have the capacity." Well, I kept talking to them, and the conversations kept going, and I kept asking. There I was asking all these questions. Well, what are your guys' plans? What are you? And at this point, I had grown, and then I had to figure out how to shrink it. But then I also had to figure out how to keep myself afloat, right? So anyway, conversations kept leading, and it ended up after a few probably months of this, I decided to kind of let my clients know that I was going to go a different direction. And what was really cool is that I had set a precedence for myself, and I had a reputation positive enough from my experience that I basically got to tell Smarty what I wanted. I wanted to work 9 to 2. I wanted to make this much money. This is what I wanted to be responsible for. And they said yes. And I was like, oh my gosh, there's no way I can't not do this, right?
Right.
And we're going into new ownership, and you know, they had all these big goals and everything. So I, at that time, I worked for both Charlie and Jackie, and I worked for Wesley Thorpe, and I worked for Shane Hanchey. I worked for several bigger athletes. And then I was also doing Durango Boots, their athlete management for their.
Okay.
Because my husband is their national sales manager. So I was helping with that side of it because they were removed from the Western side of it. And so I got to build that team essentially. And then I got to help manage and facilitate them until I completely stepped away. This would be my second year of that. But Anyway, I told them all where I was going, and luckily I had a great group of people that were super supportive of my decision and what I wanted to do, and I helped connect them to the next best person. I did that, and the rest is history. I started off as the director of marketing here, and we were going through some staffing and management chaos essentially. And I, for whatever reason, I rode that storm. And when the storm was over, they asked me to please step up because I had ridden the storm. I had stayed true to myself, my beliefs, what the motivation of the company was, what the objectives were, what the mission statement was. And then pretty soon they asked me to lead. I've been in this role just over a year and a half, and I've been with the company about 3 years. So it's been a journey.
For sure.
But I've learned I've never made a parallel move, and I've learned from every experience, and I've been able to mentor people too. And that was, I told you when we started this, like I told myself that I was never going to be the person that said you don't have enough experience. I may not pay you to give you experience, but I will darn sure help you.
Yes. Oh, and that's so wise as well, Amanda, because that's just it. You can get experience. You just have to be willing to work early, work late, fit it into your schedule. If it starts with volunteering, and we all know it starts with cleaning stalls and filling water buckets, right? Like that is how these journeys begin. And then you end up with this storied career as the vice president of business development for Smarty Rodeo. And here you are, where you have earned the opportunity to declare what good life balance looks like. That's a term you alluded to, right? And I refuse to use the term work-life balance, Amanda, because I think it makes it combative. Our roles are part of our life. And so it truly is life balance. You're a mom, you're a wife, you are a VP, you are also other things, right? Like you are probably a dog mom and a horse mom and all these other things as well. And these are all roles in our life that we do have to balance. So just so much wisdom through that, where you are explaining to our listeners that the real magic is putting the work in to get where you think you want to be.
And you have to set boundaries. If you work nonstop from the time your feet get up, hit the ground in the morning until you lift them up in bed, you're going to create that boundary for yourself. And that's what I had to learn the hard way is like, okay, if I'm accessible and the phone, the watches,
Phone.
all of them are they're necessary evils essentially. But you have to take those. That do not disturb on my phone has been the best thing Apple has come out with in a hot minute.
Yes.
But you have to create those. And I'm going to tell you, the first probably 10 to 15 years of your career, you really can't, you have to be focused on your career. You have to make that sacrifice. And sacrifice is something that this young generation doesn't really understand. They want instant gratification, and they're not willing to sacrifice anything to get there. I'm sorry, if you want to be someone like me or yourself or the big people that you see out there making all the money or what you think of them as,
Right.
have to make sacrifices and you have to set goals and you have to do different things and you have to trust the process. Instant gratification comes from Amazon. That's it.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Well, that might be the title of this episode, Amanda. Instant
Yes.
gratification only comes from Amazon.
Yes. And I think the programs like the 30 Under 30 are great. And do they motivate those girls to stay elevated? Absolutely. But if I'm being totally honest, I didn't get my poop in a group until I was 35, 36, 37. And life started getting good about that point. I started being
Yes.
enough money to be comfortable. I started making enough money to start investing. I started making enough money, but it didn't come at 25, 22, 28. It was a process and it was sacrifice. I was paying other people. You know what
Right.
I mean? So I think that a little bit from the experience that I've had trying to hire people and trying to guide people, and trying to motivate people, you've got to put the work in. You have to know that, again, it comes at a cost. It comes at whether it's time, whether it's effort, whether it's all these things, it comes at a cost.
Yes. Yeah, without a doubt. And really being willing to hear that advice and take it to heart and know that whatever failure we face today, it is not forever. Failure is not final. It will happen and it needs to. And that's what creates opportunity. That's what teaches us to be a little grittier and a little more determined. And, it's so inspirational to kind of hear you tell that story of how it takes time and this journey is not instant. And the greatest joy of you and I being probably in very similar in age, right? Gen Xers out here ruling the world, and we have put in the time. And then you start to be able to make decisions that are a little bit more personally balanced. And I think that's really what leads us to what I call fulfillment and the understanding, like Jodi Speaks Life, the life stands for living inspired, fulfilled, and empowered. The decisions you make and the connections you build along the way, that's where that comes from. It doesn't happen the day after you graduate and the day you start your job and you're like, well, how do I even get a job if I don't have experience? Go get experience. This is just a journey.
Internships have been developed for a reason. Youth programs are popping up everywhere, I think, because I don't think this conversation is the first time this conversation has happened either. I think other companies and other people, colleges, are understanding that, okay, we need to step back and we need to help these youth because we're all experiencing the same thing as they are coming to us with no clue.
Right.
Okay, that's a little bit on the parents, that's a little bit on the schools, and that's a little bit of the environment that we're in now,
Correct. Our
right?
culture. Yes.
Yeah, but I think that we have to encourage that these programs are out there for a reason. We have to encourage that you don't have to be too cool. You have to know that even if you work at McDonald's and you take cash from someone at the window, if you have a bad attitude and you have the bad attitude with the wrong person, especially, okay, this community, you have to work at McDonald's, but now you're getting closer to your degree, and I'm hiring for something you want. If I can, when you walk in the door and I go, oh my gosh, aren't you the kid with the bad attitude for McDonald's? I ain't having it. I'm sorry. And it's not, I mean, what you know is important, but who you know is probably going to get you farther. And if you have a bad attitude in different positions or different settings in your day to day, you never know who's watching. Never. And so you have to save that bad attitude for home. You have to save that venting session for you and your BFF on your drive home. But you do not do it when public in the public, potential employers, all of that. Like,
Yes.
it's a
Yeah.
game face. It's a game face all the time.
Yep. Every opportunity is a job interview. Every day is a job interview. You just don't know it. I agree completely. The other day, my day was made when the lady at Staples, as I was checking out, said, "I love your energy." And I'm absolutely, that is what we want out of life. We want people to know you and remember you, whether it is the person at Staples or McDonald's, or it is the VP of business development at Smarty. I mean, we need to see your genuine passion and enthusiasm. If we see that, you, Amanda, me, other people, we are championing you. And that's what you need. If you're going to climb through these careers and have doors opened for you and get these kind of cool opportunities that you and I have both experienced, that's why we're pouring back in. That's why we're looking and saying, guys, this equine industry is amazing. This Western industry is amazing and rewarding. We want you here. And so we want to champion you. We are only going to champion you if we can see your motivation and your passion and your interest and your grit.
Yep. And there's a place in the equine and Western sports, the whole thing. There's everything from the rodeo cowboy, the ranching cowboy, to the dressage, to the performance horse, to the double Dan horsemanships, if you will. Like, you know what I mean? There's a place for everybody. But you also know when you come into this that you are coming into an environment that you are dealing with a live animal that has a mind of its own that you have to take care of at the end of the day. You it did it It's going to take sweat. It's going to take manual labor. It's going to take fundamentally going through the steps to understand the horse. Like, I don't know how to express it other than like, get your boots muddy.
Yes, I
Get
love
them
that.
muddy.
Get
Get
your
them
boots
muddy.
muddy.
There is a hose on every corner, I promise you. You know what I mean? Let's get them muddy, rinse it off. And like, to your point, failures. Failures are the biggest achievements,
Yes.
essentially. You don't know until you fail. It's lonely at the top. So if you want to be popular and you want to be all the things and you want to be noticed, and you dang sure don't try to get to the top,
Right.
but be good at mediocre, be good at the middle, be good at the bottom.
Yeah, be good every step along the way, get good. Or you think you need to be somewhere else. Are you good at where you are now, even if you don't love it? Get good at it.
There's always this thing, and it's kind of a hard to fathom, if you will, but they say like your job description will be posted before your obituary, right?
Yes.
Not if you own it, not if they don't know what to do without you,
Yes.
not if you have set the standard so high that there is no one else. You know what I mean? But that comes from being at the very bottom or the very top, I feel like.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a really great way to say that is just, you bring your heart and your hustle and be purposeful and intentional about that.
It's
So,
9 hours of the day.
yeah.
Just do it.
Just do it.
You
Just
know what
do
I
it.
mean? Just do it. It's 9 hours. And most of the time you came to me looking for a job. You came to your employer looking for a job. Well, do the job
Right.
and figure out, ask questions. Like I said, questions and answers have gotten me probably farther than any textbook, any blog, but I take the time to go do those things, look at those things, learn from those things. And those resources are there because other people are hungry for it too. So,
Yes. Well, resources, and you mentioned that. So as we kind of wind down, I feel like you and I are just getting started, Amanda. We're going to have a follow-up to this without a doubt. And so I do want to share. I know there will be listeners that want to connect with you and learn more. I, of course, connected with you on LinkedIn. I mean, you're hiring for a role as director of consumer sales, and you have inspired me to be like, oh my gosh, am I ready to move to Stephenville and like apply for this job? I don't think I'm quite qualified for that one, but how do people connect with you and find out more? Tell us where they can find you.
I would say LinkedIn. I am a big fan of my boundaries currently, so my social media is fairly private. But I am very open to LinkedIn and networking. And my email. If you message me on LinkedIn, I'm more than happy to share my email and continue conversations via Zoom, Teams, or even on the phone. But I check my and I'm pretty active on my LinkedIn, so that's the best place to reach me.
Okay, good. And they can find out more about Smarty Brands. I think you've got a couple different handles for Smarty.
Yes, Smarty Rodeo is our basic umbrella, but because we own the saddle business and then we recently acquired Heel-O-Matic, which was our direct competitor, we have Heel-O-Matic training and we have Smarty training. And then we also have a retail store, and it's Smarty Supply Company. So we're doing big things, or what we hope to be doing big things.
Without a doubt. Now, I always ask our guests on the Thriving Equine Professional, what, Amanda, is one book or podcast that you might recommend to our listeners? Is there something that stands out for you?
Yes, there is a book called Chief Inspiration Officer. I think that it is a great book, whether you're a leader or you're a part of a team, because it tells you how to be inspirational to within. You know what I mean? The culture. And culture will make or break a day, you know? And I am also, because I am new to the leadership role, I am new to trying to figure out like my skill sets and what I feel works for my team. I listen to Leaders of the West a lot with Jessie Jarvis.
Yes.
She's not only a personal friend of mine, but she has done an amazing job with her platform, both the podcast and the website, and those are great resources. But I also learned too, like, humbled myself listening to hers is that I know more than I thought I knew. And that other employers and other leaders and other managers in the industry go through a lot of the same things. So I also encourage my team to listen to those, because I think even if you're not a leader, you should listen to those things to become a leader within your group. So those are big ones for me right now.
I love that. That's so good. And I love Leaders of the West. I don't miss an episode of that with Jessie. So huge shout out to that one. Because I agree with you. She has done such an amazing job. So, and I recently joined the new directory, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I'm on there as part of that as I grow my own speaking business and those kinds of things. So I love a good shout out for Leaders of the West.
Yes, yes. So.
And the other question that I ask, you kind of answered this, Amanda, but we talked about life balance. Is there something specific? You mentioned boundaries. You really gave us such an inspiring picture of how you have evolved and incorporated your family life in your professional life and married those, so to speak. Any specific advice that you would offer our listeners?
My dad, he told me you can't be successful 8 to 5. And I wholeheartedly believe that. And I took that with me my entire journey. But I also know that, you know, there's things that are overwhelming, you know, your watch, you can set your watch, your phone, your email, all of that stuff can ding constantly and keep you super distracted when you're driving, when you're in meetings, when you're trying to have face-to-face. So my big thing is, like, when somebody deserves your attention, turn all that off, give them your attention. Another thing is, like, okay, you can't be successful 8 to 5, but 7:30 is a good threshold both sides of the day. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, just utilize the tools that are given to you, and don't feel like, one of the big things that's helped me is understanding that I don't have to justify my role, essentially. Like, I don't have to justify my paycheck. When I show up, when I do my job, and when I make the most of those 9 hours, I earn that. You know what I mean? So make sure that you don't, it's such a fine line, because you can, I don't mean be entitled. I don't mean that they need you. No, you need them, but you also need to make them understand that you life is part of everything. And so just kind of create boundaries and stick to them. Like, if you don't want to answer calls after 7 o'clock at night, don't. Pretty soon you start training people, then they know, like, okay, she's just not going to answer, so I'll just wait till morning, or schedule an email that goes out at 8 the next morning. If you're working all night, which I do this a lot, if you're working at night, schedule those emails. Don't start blowing up other people. You know what I mean? Like, schedule those to go in at 8 in their inbox at 8 a.m. But don't bother other people if you don't want to be bothered, right? So I think just, like, thinking of other people and then also sticking true to those boundaries.
Yeah. Such great advice. Such great advice. I can't wait to get to know you more and meet you live and in person. We will do that. That will be a priority of ours moving forward, certainly, Amanda. I cannot thank you enough for being a guest on the Thriving Equine Professional. You've brought such life to the Western lifestyle and your role and your evolution in your career journey. And I just know that this episode is going to be a fan favorite. So thank you, Amanda. And Thrivers, we will see you back here same time next week. Have an amazing day. Cheers. Hey, Thriver. I hope this episode inspired and empowered you to keep growing. If so, I'd be so grateful if you hit that share button and send it to your tribe so they can thrive too. And while you're there, please leave me a rating and review on Apple Podcasts so everyone can find the show. I love to know what keeps you listening, especially if I'm at the barn with you. I'll meet you back here same time next week. Cheers, Jody.